Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. It's Jesse Green here at the control panels as always, and today I wanted to have a conversation about fees and setting fee structures. In essence, we're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly of fees. So we all understand that the practice needs to have an appropriate fee level that allows us to operate commercially successfully. And the reason we need to be able to operate commercially successfully, of course, is because if we've got enough money coming through the door, it allows us to provide the best possible care to patients. Yeah, that's the treatment that really enriches their lives, makes a difference to them, and that we find rewarding as well. It allows us to hire the best people. It allows us to train the best people so that we're really leveling up the business. And of course, we need to make sure there's enough money coming through the door so that everyone can make a living, whether that's a team member, whether it's the practice owner, whatever it happens to be. But there are some really good reasons for setting the fee levels appropriately and operating in a commercially successful and sustainable way. So just to touch on a few of those things, if we want to optimize patient care, we need to make sure that we are using the best materials, the best equipment, we've got highly trained team members, and as I said, we need a fee structure that allows us to do that. But from time to time, we also need to understand that treatment doesn't work out the way we anticipate. We've all had treatment that hasn't quite gone to plan or maybe hasn't even worked. And if we've got a fee structure that's appropriate, it allows us to have a buffer in place. And what that means is if we've got a buffer with our fees, it allows us to understand that if we need to rectify work or redo work, A, we have the opportunity to retain that patient because we can redo that work at little or no cost to the patient, which preserves the goodwill, allows the patient to come back to the practice, and we retain them forever, hopefully, after that. And it also means that if our fee structure is right, not only can we do that, we've got enough, I guess, fat in the fee structure that we can absorb that cost without really impacting the bottom line too badly. So we've got to make sure that we've got a buffer. So if you find anyone with a hard luck story, similarly, we can make sure that we're supporting them, perhaps with a bit of fee relief as well if we choose to. So setting the appropriate fee structure does provide that buffer in the event that either something goes wrong so we can retain the patient, or if we have a patient who's genuinely in need, we can adjust our fees and still be okay as well. So we also need to understand that fees do reflect the brand of the business. And it's a really interesting comment because years ago, I remember I was working with a practice in Melbourne, and when they were talking about the brand that they were trying to create, they likened it to Rolls-Royce, and they wanted to be known as the Rolls-Royce. Now, of course, Rolls-Royce is a bit of a synonym for quality, for excellence, for high-end premium, and yet their fee structure was quite low, and indeed, they were offering 2-for-1 on various things, and I don't know about you, but I've never, ever seen a 2-for-1 Rolls-Royce. Buy one Rolls-Royce, get the other one free. It just doesn't happen. So we need to make sure that your fees do reflect your brand. And if you're operating a premium brand, you would typically operate with a premium price structure. If you're operating a family-oriented brand, you'd operate with a family-oriented price structure. So we need to make sure that your fees do indeed reflect your brand. And of course, once we've got the fees right and everything set, it's going to allow you to have predictable cash flow and profits for your practice. So let's think about what goes into the fees. What are the things that affect the fee structure? You're going to need to take into account your rates of charge or charges put to you from suppliers, whether that's consumables, whether it's rent, whether it's whatever it happens to be. You need to look at those input costs. And so other input costs we need to look at are your staff costs, interest rates, your consumer price index, and inflation in general. So we need to make sure that we are taking into account all the costs that we absorb, and our fee structure must allow for that while adding a profit margin on top, which is really, really key. We need to maintain our margins to maintain a successful practice. So again, just to list those things again for you, you need to look at changes in the supplier rates. You need to look at your staff costs. You need to look at rents. You need to look at interest rates. You need to look at consumer price index and inflation generally, and make sure that you maintain your profit margin. So you've got to look at your margins and set your fee structure accordingly. Now, a couple of problems that come up for us, of course, is one, not knowing your costs, B, not reviewing your fees, and C, having some single point sensitivity where you may have your fee structure dictated to you if you're part of a preferred provider program. So we need to just address each of those issues separately. So as I said, I wanted to stress this point. You want to make sure your pricing ensures your profit margins are strong and contain sufficient buffer against risk. I can't stress that enough. So as you're going through this, really, really key and important. So if you wanted to increase fees, there's a few things that come up quite commonly. The first question is, do I need to tell the patients that I'm increasing my fees? And I don't think you necessarily do, because most patients won't even notice that you've increased the fees, because you're typically increasing them incrementally, a little bit over time. Now, if you do have a really low fee structure right now and you want to increase them significantly, I would suggest that rather than taking a big jump from where you are to where you want to get to, you might want to do that incrementally and factor in more regular fee increases. Maybe it's every quarter or something like that. And that is so that if there are patients who are coming for multiple treatments in quick succession, they don't get a massive fee shock, but nobody else will notice it. Okay. It's really, really important to understand that patients generally don't notice it. Now, the big fear around all of this, of course, is that patients confront you and say, "My God, you've put up your fees." And I think it's really important to answer confidently and unapologetically. And what I typically say, or would say if that came up, is, look, we've been absorbing our increasing costs for as long as we could, and we're now in the position where we need to pass on some of those increasing costs to our patients. Our commitment is to provide the best possible care, and that means having the best materials and the best staff. And if your response doesn't satisfy them, then I guess the question is, are they really an ideal patient after all? So again, you got to know who your ideal patient is. And the reality is that the risk of anyone confronting you about your fee increase is really, really low. But on the off chance that it does happen, just be confident, just be unapologetic, and just say, look, we've been able to absorb the increased cost for a period, but we're at that point now where we need to pass on some of those costs back to the patient, because our commitment is to provide the best possible care. And that means, continuing to have the best possible materials, the best possible staff, and we need to pass on some of those costs. So I think that's really key. Now, the second thing I really want to just mention is around single point sensitivity. If you are a preferred provider, that's totally okay, but I think it's really important to not become overly dependent on any one source of patients, because the risk there is if you're relying solely on your preferred providers or the health insurance companies to send patients to you, then the risk for you is that over time they reduce the rebates to you. And of course, single point sensitivity is a real issue for business in general. And this is just an example of single point sensitivity. After all, one is the loneliest number. And, I think we've just got to be aware that if you're overly reliant on any one source of patients, preferred provider or otherwise, then you're at risk. But specifically with preferred provider, you're at the risk of them ratcheting down the rebates. Now, maybe that won't happen, maybe it will, but my advice would be to make sure that you take an interest in your marketing, that you really understand marketing, and you build patient flow outside of those preferred provider relationships. So you still want to take in full fee-paying patients outside of those preferred provider relationships. So those people who do rely on preferred provider schemes can become lazy marketers. Not all, some do, some don't. In fact, many don't, but I'm just going to really encourage you to take an active interest in your marketing, to be engaged with your marketing, know what your market is doing, get a return on investment, understand. So you've got to make sure that if you are part of a preferred provider arrangement, that you don't fall into the habit of being lazy, because it can be your downfall. So again, I want to stress, I've got no issue with anyone being part of these schemes, but you must have multiple strings to your bow when it comes to patient flow. So again, really, really key. What I'd also really encourage you to understand is that, if you are looking to grow your patient base, the simplest form of marketing is internal marketing. It's free, it's cheap, it's pretty straightforward. It's easy to do, but it's easy not to do. And my experience is that with internal marketing, which is obviously something we're really well known for through the book Retention, it's really important to understand that if you can get your internal marketing right, you will never need to rely on any other external marketing or external provider of patients in the world. If you can get that right, you're really on the way to having full books, productive books with great patients who continue to frequent the practice over time. So I guess a conversation with fees wouldn't be complete without a conversation around discounts. And lots of people ask the questions around discounts, and I think it's a really important conversation to have. And I'm going to preface the conversation by saying, there are many ways to be right. And I guess, ideologically, I'm not in favor of discounts so much, but I have to tell you that I do discount from time to time. Can I say that I never do it? No, I can't say that. But I can say that I never call it a discount. I might call it, a courtesy adjustment or some other type of word, but I try very hard not to use the word discount because I don't like the inference that the word brings with it. So I don't ever want to be known as a discount dentist because I don't want to attract people looking for discounts. So when someone who owned the practice before us gave them a discount, he looked them in the eye and said, this is one of my mentors, Ray. And before he gave them a discount, he'd look them in the eye and he'd say, if you ever tell anyone that I've given you this, I won't continue to work for you. And he was that serious. Like, he wanted to help that person because they were in need for whatever reason, but he made them swear black and blue that he would never, that they would never tell anyone about that discount. So for me, we understand that there are genuine hardship situations. So I like to be compassionate. I do like to do the right thing by people, but I do like to be sure that we're not known as a discount practice at the same time. So again, I think it's really important to be clear about that. So again, when it comes to fees, I think it's just really good practice to review your fees regularly, at least annually, preferably every 6 months. Make those small changes incrementally. Know what goes into setting the right fee structure, what input costs you've got, what profit margin you're trying to maintain, and making sure that you're not single source dependent, and you're at risk of having your fees dictated to you, I think is really important as well. So again, ladies and gents, having the right fee structure allows you to provide the best possible care. It allows you to work with the best possible people. It allows everyone on the team to make a living that allows them to have a life that they enjoy. That allows you to retain those patients, retain those team members and go from there. So that's it for me today. Bit of a discussion around fees. It's close to the new year now, and I think now's the time to be looking at your fees. Now's the time to be making sure they're set for 2020 and you can take that into the future. All right, guys, that's it for me. Have a great week. Until next time, I will see you soon. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.